हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गराधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 42, chapter 5, The Essential Nature of the Energies of the Lord. Brahma to Sri Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam 10, 14, 2, 14, and 29. My dear Lord, neither I nor anyone else can estimate the potency of this transcendental body of yours, which has shown such mercy to me, and which appears just to fulfill the desires of your pure devotees. Although my mind is completely withdrawn from material affairs, I cannot understand your personal form. How then could I possibly understand the happiness you experience within yourself? So, he's withdrawn from material affairs. So he's not on the material platform, but just because you're on the spiritual platform doesn't mean you can understand the Lord. So it's not being situated spiritually that you understand, it's by Krishna's mercy that you understand. Does that make sense? So that's the clear thing. And so let alone if one's materially, you know, then one really can't understand. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is devotional service means you're acting in such a way that you're doing things to please Krishna. Being pleased, that's why we advance. That's why it goes. It's not because I did this. Yes. You know, it's not like, yes, on Janmashtami I chanted 64 rounds. That's why. No, it's because you made the endeavor to try to please Krishna by doing that extra service, Krishna being pleased. That's why one advanced. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So in other words, we get beyond the thing that it's because I did something, that's why I got the result.
So our own efforts are
important. Our own endeavor is not important. But what's the context of that? So then what would be the alternative? We do nothing and just wait for the mercy to shower down.
Because when you say about mercy, it's random.
Mercy is random.
Oh, it's like lottery.
I see. So Krishna just, whenever he feels like it, it happens, and whenever he doesn't feel like it, doesn't happen. So unless it fits into the logic of our intelligence, then it's random. How about the previous one that, according to, how you say, how someone surrenders, then Krishna reciprocates. Is that random?
Surrender is random.
Surrender is random, yes. Yes. That's, yeah. Krishna's mercy is quite random. It says, why is that? Because it's based on our surrender, and our surrender is random. So, okay, now it makes sense. So Krishna is very dependable. Yeah, that's the whole point, is Krishna is very dependable. So he deals uniformly with everybody, you know, according to, you know, just how they follow the rules, that's how it's done. And with the devotees, then he shows his great mercy. Right? It's like that. So there's no such thing as random. It means our mercy may be random, but Krishna's isn't.
Yeah.
No, or random, or if at all. Right? You know, so. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada mentions first deserve, then desire.
Yes.
And
we don't deserve, still we desire. So,
well, he was more talking about, like, the, I think, the position and stuff like that. Like, somebody wants to be the temple president. You deserve to be. Then you desire it. You know, but when it comes to the spiritual, then, you know, we're here in the material world, so we don't really deserve much.
Right.
So, but we see from associating with the acharyas and that this is something, you know, of great importance, great value, and so then we desire that. And because of that desire, we advance. So basically, it's based on our desire. So if there's any randomness, it's our desire.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. That's why you have the aspect of, like, one of the ones is thick thin.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so in the beginning one's enthusiastic.
Yes.
But then when the newness wears off, then we go back to thick thin. So something's happening, we're enthusiastic. When it's not, we're not. And, you know, it goes back and forth. So one day, you know, like that. Does that make sense? Then next we come to rationalizing what we're doing and trying to show how it does connect to Krishna consciousness, but it's not necessarily a higher level. We're using a lower level, and it's time to move on, but we're not. You know, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, is that the if you're going to move forward, you have to be situated in one place. Then you start cultivating the next platform, next level. Then when you're situated there and you're situated, then you have to give up the previous one. Right? Otherwise, the inch won't move forward. That's what probably gives that example. It's on the lower level, and then it puts its front foot on the higher level. And then when it's you know, confident that it's, you know, situated, then it picks up the back foot and then brings it to that higher level.
Mm-hmm.
Now you start cultivating the next level up above that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So we rationalize to hold on to those previous levels because they are bona fide. But at the same time, they're bona fide for, you know. It's just like, let us say, okay, the kid's in fourth grade. Now, if he moves to fifth grade, he's just another idiot in the class. Well, if he stays back, he'll be the best kid in fourth grade. You know, no, he's supposed to move forward. Is that? Yeah. So just these things, as we bring out these aspects, that it'll be these are brought that someone like Brahma, who's so materially qualified, he can't know because of material qualification. And even he is not attached to the material aspects. That's still not enough. So in other words, good karma or jnana is not enough to know Krishna. But bhakti, you can know Krishna. Like that. So,
Maharaj, this particular point, you know, when Brahmaji says over here that how then could I possibly understand the happiness you experience within yourself? So,
right.
Yeah. So this point basically refutes the morning discussion about an all-pervading jiva.
The all-pervading jiva.
Yeah. Even Brahmaji cannot understand.
Yeah, Brahmaji can't understand, then he can't be all-pervading.
Yeah.
Right? Jiva's not all-pervading.
Yes. So Maharaj, can we say in a simple way that to get Krishna's mercy is to get the devotee's mercy?
Yes. That's the process. Because Krishna is pleased when we interact and deal with the devotees very nicely.
So it must be the focus of the devotee to try to get the devotee's mercy.
Yes. That's why the first offense is to blaspheming the devotees.
Yes.
Now, in that, we'll look at it. Yes, we don't say anything about the devotees when you know, it's going right. I may like or may not. But if they're doing something wrong, I can say something.
Yes.
No, it means you're not criticizing.
Yes.
That's one of the symptoms we see as advanced devotees, is they're not inclined to criticize.
Yes.
Like that. They're not inclined to criticize. Because the point is, criticism is what? We're looking at it from the mundane, what is right and what is wrong.
Yes.
We're not looking at it, what's good for Krishna.
Yes.
Because I've said, if we do it like this, and that's my experience, that's good. But the point is to be engaged in Krishna's service.
Yes.
That's the point.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm. We've also studied that in Canto 11.
Yes.
That we should not even criticize or praise even the materialists when we speak of devotees.
Yes. that. Because the point is what's wrong with the materialist? Is there something wrong in what he's doing? Or is, you know, technically?
No.
It's that it's not connected to Krishna. That's the fault. But to find fault in like how he runs his business, that he should have done it like this or technically like that, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's how it connects to Krishna.
Yes.
That's the main point. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about.
Nowadays, people get offended very easily, even if there is no intention to hurt them.
Yes.
That's still like criticizing.
That's another thing. If you're making an attempt like that, then you're doing your best, and then on top of that, they become offended. But it doesn't mean that you don't try to understand how to, you know, make adjustments. Like if you know now people get so easily offended, then you know it's all off of words. It's not just going to be anything. So you say, well. And then, you're saying it's certain words, it's certain concepts. So you just are careful about those. But if you're trying to do, you do the best you can. Because it's like, Yudhishthira Maharaj is called a Jatashatru, means no one's born as his enemy. There hasn't been someone born that's his enemy. But does Duryodhana like Yudhishthira? No. So it's nothing to do with Yudhishthira. He behaves in a way that's appropriate. Right? But everyone else behaves, you know, however they're going to, and take it however they like. And it's just like this. Let us say Duryodhana is there with his 100 brothers. Right? And the 100, you know, and amongst the 100 brothers, you know, somebody does something stupid. Are the other 99 brothers going to laugh? Right? And depending how stupid it is, they're going to laugh really heartily.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it's just some fun. You know, because the next time they'll be laughing at him, right? So that's what's happening when Duryodhana, you know, bumps into the wall or falls into the pond or something in the Sudharma hall, you know, hall.
It's not Sudharma.
No, it's not Sudharma. That's in Dwarka. This is Maya made. Means it was the the assembly hall, right?
The assembly hall.
Yeah. That he made. So they're all brothers. So they're laughing. He should have just himself laughed at that, you know, he thought it was this and like that. And then when they come over, they would have all sat there and laughed and then, you know, probably eaten dinner or something. No, but he gets offended. Like that. Because of his envy and all these things. Does that make sense? But it doesn't mean that you do your best. They get offended, then you try to avoid. Or if you see it's just the attitude in this, you avoid them. You know what I'm saying? Like that. If you have to work with them or this or that, or you bump into them, you're going to be pleasant, nice. But then you know you're a little careful. But if you don't need to, then you don't make any endeavor to spend, you know, any time with them. Because otherwise, what are you going? You're only going to upset them anyway. So then, you know, just to, I say. You know, make their day go better than you don't talk to them. So, okay, so that's he can't know, you know, just the form, let alone, that's his form, let alone the happiness he feels. Right? Like that. So it's just, you know, it's just so far beyond. It's like the ocean, that's the nectar of devotion, is the ocean of the nectar of devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
So Rupa Goswami is explaining, it's an ocean. So that can't be understood. I mean, you can know that, okay, he's very happy.
Yes.
Right? But how happy, that you're not going to know unless Krishna shares that. Okay? Are you not the original Narayana? O Supreme Controller, since you are the soul of every embodied being and the eternal witness of all created realms. Indeed, Lord Narayana is your expansion, and he is called Narayana because he is the generating source of the primeval water of the universe. He is real, not a product of your illusory maya. My Lord, if one is favored by even a slight trace of the mercy of your lotus feet, he can understand the greatness of your personality. But those who speculate to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead are unable to know you, even though they continue to study the Vedas for many years. Brahma to Narad Muni, right? So, there's the idea is not that we get discouraged that, oh, then there's no use doing anything. It's no, there's no use doing anything not connected to Krishna.
Yes.
That's the point.
Yes.
Brahma to Narad Muni. 3.9.23. The Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, is always the benefactor of the surrendered souls. His activities are always enacted through his internal potency, Rama, or the Goddess of Fortune. I pray only to engage in his service in the creation of this material world, and I pray that I may not be materially affected by my works. For this I may be able to give up. For thus I may be able to give up the false prestige of being the creator. Right, he's doing the things, but he doesn't want to get affected, because if it's service, then we're not trying to get some benefit from it. Right? Then you don't want the prestige from it. If we're doing it for the material platform, then we naturally want some benefit. So Brahma's praying that he may be able to do these things as service, and then not become proud of his being the creator.
Yes.
Right? Because he's basically bigger than anybody else.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Narad Muni to Maharaj Yudhishthira, 7.15.75. My dear Maharaj Yudhishthira, you Pandavas are so very fortunate in this world that many, many great saints who can purify all the planets of the universe come to your house just like ordinary visitors. Furthermore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is living confidentially with you in your house, just like your brother. Demigods to Sri Krishna, 10.2, 34-36. O Lord, during the time of maintenance, you manifest several incarnations, all with transcendental bodies, beyond the material modes of nature. When you appear in this way, you bestow all good fortune upon the living entities by teaching them to perform Vedic activities, such as ritualistic ceremonies, mystic yoga, austerities, penances, and ultimately samadhi, ecstatic absorption in thoughts of you. Thus you are worshipped by the Vedic principles. O Lord, cause of all causes, if your transcendental body were not beyond the modes of material nature, one could not understand the difference between matter and transcendence. Only by your presence can one understand the transcendental nature of your Lordship, who are the controller of material nature. Your transcendental nature is very difficult to understand unless one is influenced by the presence of your transcendental form. Okay, so if you're simply seeing his control, that's not enough. But when you appreciate that he has his form, right, then it takes on the greater aspect. Then you can appreciate. Does that make sense? Oh Lord, your transcendental name and form are not ascertained by those who merely speculate on the path of imagination. Your name, form, and attributes can be ascertained only through devotional service. Even while engaging in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet, and who constantly hear, chant, contemplate, and cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms, are always on the transcendental platform. And thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So they're able to understand because of this, who constantly hear, chant, and contemplate, and cause others to remember your...
Yes.
They're the ones who can understand. So it's not the position of Brahma, it's not the ability or the intelligence or the knowledge, it's devotion that is going to. Right? Sukadeva Goswami Dimaras Prikit, 9.24.65. Krishna's face is decorated with ornaments, such as earrings resembling sharks. His ears are beautiful, his cheeks brilliant, and his smiling attractive to everyone. Whoever sees Lord Krishna sees a festival. His face and body are fully satisfied for everyone to see. But the devotees are angry at the Creator for the disturbance caused by the momentary blinking of their eyes.
So, Maharaj, if we don't see, when we see the deity, if we don't see a festival, there is a problem.
Yeah, then there's some work to do. Right? But you keep seeing.
Yes.
That's the whole point. It's that, just in other words, you haven't been seeing enough. You should see more.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Then slowly, this will all come. Uddhava to Vidura, 3 to 11, 13 to 14, 21, 23, 27, 29, 34. Lord Sri Krishna, who manifested his eternal form before the vision of all on the earth, performed his disappearance by removing his form from the sight of those who were unable to see him, as he is, due to not executing required penance. All the demigods from the upper, lower, and middle universal planetary systems assembled at the altar of the Rajasuya sacrifice, performed by Maharaj Yudhishthira. After seeing the beautiful bodily features of Lord Krishna, they all contemplated that he was the ultimate dexterous creation of Brahma, the creator of human beings. The damsels of Braja, after pastimes of laughter, humor, and exchanges of glances, were anguished when Krishna left them. They used to follow him with their eyes, and thus they sat down with stunned intelligence and could not finish their household duties. Lord Sri Krishna is the Lord of all kinds of threes and is independently supreme by achievement of all kinds of fortune. He is worshipped by the eternal maintainers of the creation, who offer him the paraphernalia of worship by touching their millions of helmets to his feet. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he, who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast? In his childhood, the Almighty Lord was surrounded by cowherd boys and calves, and thus he traveled on the shore of the Jamuna River, through gardens densely covered with trees and filled with vibrations of chirping birds. While herding the very beautiful bulls, the Lord, who is the reservoir of all opulence and fortune, used to blow his flute, and thus he enlivened his faithful followers, the cowherd boys. In the third season of the year, the Lord enjoyed as the central beauty of the assembly of women by attracting them with his pleasing songs in an autumn night brightened by moonshine. So you see here is that there's all the nice expressions of all his energies, right? Just how that and how he's pleasing the devotees in all these aspects. But all these, his energies, his form, his qualities, his energies, all these things are very, very pleasing. Right? So that's the essential point there. Yes, you know, yes. We've already seen, you know, the eternality, all these different qualities are all there, and that establishes him in his position. Now we see is that his interaction with his energies, that's then, you know, creates then even more wonderfulness.
Yes.
Right? And then we'll see that the aspect of rasa, that will create the most wonderfulness.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? So it's wonderful, more wonderful, most wonderful.
Yes.
So adding.
Yes, you're just adding. But you see is that the other things are there from the previous chapter are in this one.
Yes.
But this takes it another step further.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Gargamuni to Nanda Maharaj. Your son Krishna appears in an incarnation in every millennium. In the past, he assumed three different colors, white, red, and yellow. And now he has appeared in a blackish color. In another Dwapara Yuga, he appeared as Ramachandra in the color of Shuka, a parrot. All such incarnations have now assembled in Krishna. Okay, color of a parrot, that kind of green.
Mm-hmm.
That's a far out green. For this son of yours, there are many forms and names according to his transcendental qualities and activities. So then that, here it says Dwapara Yuga, that would be when they're reversed the other way. Because the general rule, it goes Satya, Dwapara, Treta,
yes.
Kali.
Yes.
But when Krishna comes, they're reversed.
Yes.
Okay. For this son of yours, there are many forms and names according to his transcendental qualities and activities. These are known to me, but people in general do not understand them. Rukmini to Krishna. Sri Rukmini said in her letter, as read by the Brahmana, O beauty of the worlds, having heard your qualities, which enter the ears of those who hear and remove their bodily distress, and having also heard of your beauty, which fills all the visual desires of those who see, I have fixed my shameless mind upon you, O Krishna. Shaunaka Rishi Dasutta Goswami. The personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, Govinda, is the exclusive shelter for all great living beings, and his transcendental attributes cannot be measured by such masters of mystic powers as Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Can anyone who is expert in relishing nectar, rasa, ever be fully satiated by hearing topics about him? So, next theme, chapter 6. Tasting the sublime nature of relationships with the Lord. Bhagavat Rasa Tattvam. Vriti. Chapter 6 describes the Lord as the fountainhead of all relationships. And love, rasabdhim, or akila rasamrita murtihi, the reservoir of all pleasure, in which exist all the mellows of devotional service. The akila rasamrita murtihi, where is that from?
It's from nectar, bhakti rasamrita singh.
Okay, nectar devotion.
First
okay. Okay, because rasabdhim is the
dasamurta.
Yeah. Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Prakrit. The various groups of people in the arena regarded Krishna in different ways when he entered it with his elder brother. The wrestlers saw Krishna as a lightning bolt, the men of Mathura as the best of males, the women as Cupid in person, the cowherd men as their relative, the impious rulers as a chastiser, his parents as their child, the king of the Bhojas as death, and the unintelligent as the Supreme Lord's universal form, the yogis as the absolute truth, and the Vrishnis as their supreme worshipable deity. Right, so they see what taste they're getting. Like the previous one, it says, without your form, we can't even appreciate, you know, like the difference between what's matter and spirit and this and that. But then the point is then you can't understand what he's tasting.
Yes.
Right, so that's this chapter.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So you have his qualities. Right? Then you have his form and his energies and all that, and how he's Then you have the taste gained from that. Does that make sense? So they all naturally go together. So you see there's a non-difference, but there's a difference. And you can see as each one goes forward, it becomes there's more and more taste. Shaunaka Rishi to Suta Goswami. We never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationship with him relish hearing of his pastimes at every moment. Kapila Dev to Devahuti. It is because of my supremacy that the wind blows out of fear of me, the sun shines out of fear of me, and the Lord of the clouds, Indra, sends forth showers out of fear of me. Fire burns out of fear of me, and death goes about taking its toll out of fear of me. Right? Otherwise, he might want to stay home for the day. Like that. No. Yeah. So then here, that relationship with Krishna, that fear that they respect him, you know, that they're that servitor, then that's it. Sukadev Goswami to Maharaj Prakrit. Because of Mother Jashoda's hard labor, her whole body became covered with perspiration, and the flowers and comb were falling from her hair. When child Krishna saw his mother thus fatigued, he became merciful to her and agreed to be bound. Shaunaka Rishi to Suta Goswami. Do the trees not live? Do the bellows of the blacksmith not breathe? All around us, do the beasts not eat and discharge semen? Right? You know, so, yeah, the mundane platform, these things are going on, right? My dear Dhruva, please, so we can see this is ordinary. This before we would take this as, you know, the standard things. But now we can see is that these aspects of Krishna with his devotees, this is the specialness. Swayambhuvamana to Dhruva Maharaj. My dear Dhruva, please, therefore, turn your attention to the Supreme Person, who is the infallible Brahman. Face the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your original position. And thus, by self-realization, you will find this material differentiation to be merely flickering, right? You know, as in that previous verse. Yes.
It seems that here's a comparison between the spiritual material rasa.
Yes.
So if we refine our material relationship, will it help us in the spiritual relationship?
Only if you're doing that in relationship to the spiritual. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, in other words, there's nothing on the material platform that can enhance bhakti. It's that when it's being engaged in the service of bhakti, then it becomes useful. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's just like going in the kitchen. There's nothing you can do on. You can go in there, how you set up the pots. You know, do you put them on the shelf? Do you, you know, hang them on the wall? You know, like that, or you know, make those kind of like racks, like you see, like this, with them hanging down in front of you, like in the restaurants, or you know, different things that you do. Match them up, pair them up, or big ones at the ends, and then going to the small ones, or you know, do all these different things. Is it going to make cooking happen?
No.
Yeah. So that's the thing. But when you use them, now the glory of them, then it becomes an ornament. So good qualities not used in Krishna's service are a waste of time. Good qualities used in Krishna's service, they become an ornament on the devotee. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's like ornaments are useful when you wear them. If you don't wear them, what's the point? So unless it's connected to Krishna, it doesn't actually give any real benefit. Otherwise, there's so many very nice, sophisticated people in the world. But it's not necessarily that they're devotees. It's a good chance they're not. Does that make sense? But if you have good qualities and use them in Krishna's service, then it always stands out. No?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like Ambarish Prabhu. Like, you ever dealt with him?
Yeah.
Very approachable, very natural, very like this. So, you know, he's, you could say on the material platform, he's fairly well situated. Right? Like that. But at the same time, as his, you know, gentle behavior and dealings and all that, you'd never get any idea. If you didn't know who he was, you would never know. You just think he's a nice guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe like that. You know, while you're sitting there talking to him, because you're sitting there and he's sitting there and going along, you think he's a nice guy, and then the guy comes, you know, onto the stage, you know, at the podium, says this and that, makes a little thing of, you know, happy everybody's here. Now we'd like to welcome to the stage our, you know, our main, you know, person here, well, this, that, blah, 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 and then the guy next to you gets up and goes up on the stage. It's like, oh, you know. You know what I'm saying? So that's the so in other words, his character is an ornament on his devotional service. And he gets so much done by his just nice behavior and character like that. While others, they can officially get so many things done, they may not quite have that same gentleness. So it's not an ornament. They're doing service, but it won't. So in other words, these qualities become glorified because of their connection to bhakti. But on their own, they're not that. They're not special. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So we have to make distinction. Otherwise, if we take it that it's the good qualities, it's the morality, the character. These are all the important things. You do have a class of materialists who believe in God, but the position of God is subservient to the moral principles. So there's something not morally right. Then they don't, they're it's not correct. You know what I'm saying? It can't be devotional service. It can't be this and that. So it's considered actually a materialistic position, even though they have faith in God. You know, and behave themselves nicely, but they're not actually seeing things. That devotional service is the prominent. They're seeing morality is the prominent. Because of that, then devotion goes nicely. It's a common mistake.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's very common. And many times sneaks into what we're doing. You know, it's just like the person's been a pujari at the temple for the last, you know, 10 years. You know, everybody else has come and gone, this and that. He's still there, regular, you know, like this. Then something goes haywire. You know, some new bhaktin comes in, starts washing the deity plate, and next thing you know, yeah, we won't go into detail. So now it's not, you might hear some make the comment, well, he's not actually a Brahmin. Because he did this. If he was a real Brahmin, he wouldn't have done that. So that's what we're talking about. That's this, that one is, has faith in God, but one takes the moralism to actually be the higher principle. When moralism is there, then God consciousness goes on. And if anything immoral, that then removes any God consciousness. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
We're not saying that the immoral position is good or sanctioned to that. We're saying it's bad. But we're saying that a Brahmin has run into difficulty. Not as soon as something's wrong, then that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Does that make sense? But we see that. In the political field, he's a great guy, but then he does something wrong, then he's thrown out. Everything's like this.
Yes.
So this is all where the concept of morality that we have becomes more prominent than anything else, than relationships, than God, than whatever's there, the structure, the... Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, in other words, if someone is moral, then that's ornaments on their devotional service. But it's not that the morality makes the devotional service. Yes.
Since we're talking about rasa, let's say, for example, new bhakta joins and he's like, you know, very simple kind of guy, never experienced any rasa. Like, you know, dull person. But sincere.
Are you sure that he never experienced rasa like when he ate a good burrito?
Yeah, but it's a taste of a full stomach. It's not...
That's a serious rasa. You know how hard it is to... You know how hard it is to get that many burritos when you got competition, all the other brahmacharis? You know, I mean, you know that's an accomplishment, you know?
So, and of course, he hears, and then we want to desire the higher rasa.
Right, means, right.
You know, not even Vaikuntha rasa, but, you know, Golok.
Right.
So, will it help him on his path of devotional service to develop any rasa in the beginning, then, you know...
Not necessarily. You see, is these things might make one aware that there is such a thing, but it won't develop the other. Because otherwise, the sahajas take that platform. Unless you're experiencing conjugal rasa here, you won't be able to appreciate the conjugal rasa, you know, between Krishna and the gopis.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's these kind of things come up.
Yeah.
So one has to be careful about that. That's just a matter of if he behaves himself, you know, and acts according to the etiquettes and all that. You know, it makes him more aware of relationships and all that. So he can appreciate that it's there, but it's not that it generates those things. Because there's some people, they're so sensitive to relationships and this and that, but they can't necessarily be Krishna conscious. You know, whereas before, the previous question, they're so sensitive that no matter who or what interacts with them on what situation, it's always wrong, and so they're always offended. You know what I'm saying? So the point is that the secondary, yes, it through the secondary you're able to see the primary, but the primary is independent. We're used to this idea that the secondary is in control. You know, it's just like in the modern thing. You have money, then you control. So even though the higher aspects of influence and knowledge and all that, their point is, I can buy it. You know what I'm saying? We're dealing with the government. I'll put my money into this candidate. Then they'll get into power. Then the things I want, he'll get done. Is that so? So they're not seeing that it's something beyond. So the idea is that I'm doing the secondary. Without it, it won't happen. You know. But if the devotees are nice to each other, then it'll be just how you say animalistic and all. And how can you be devotional in this thing? What about Hanuman and his monkeys? They're all straight up front animals. They're all Krishna conscious, right? And they're not necessarily very refined. I'm not sure when it was that came.
They destroyed the gardens.
Yeah, yeah. When they came back because they were so ecstatic, mm-hmm. I think it was when they figured out, or something, they figured out where Sita was. They came back. They were so ecstatic. They came into Sugriva's garden, you know, the royal garden, and just went wild, eating, breaking, jumping, going crazy. And so he thought, now, you know, I'm bigger than them. And so they wouldn't do that, knowing what trouble they're going to get into, right? Unless it's something special, right? So he figured they must have been successful. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, or what about Shivananda Sen's dog? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing, is that devotional service is independent. But because of our conditioning, that the secondary is the real thing. Mm. And it may be real, but then there's the really real thing. Right? And that's Krishna. Mm. That's bhakti. So material consciousness means we avoid the primary and just focus on the secondary. And the knowledge skills to get the results that you can from there. And that's the perfection. So in karma yoga or jnana, we use those things in Krishna's service. Since they're important to us, they're used. But it's that trying to use them to please Krishna that is pleasing to Krishna. But when we become proud, or when we forget about Krishna and just focus on that and just try to get the work done and forget why we're even doing it, then that's that point is not so pleasing. Right? But because one's devotees and the association of devotees, one will, you know, generally always be reminded. So at that point, one comes back to that consciousness. And then if it's offered to Krishna, then all the previous action is considered connected. But you could be getting, relishing the taste of Krishna consciousness through the whole process, not just at the end.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we're applying it as secondary until we get the result. Then we're offering it to primary. Then we're getting that taste there. But you could be seeing it all along. You're simply working for Krishna and getting that taste that you're getting at the end all the way through the process, because it's always being connected. But if you just connect at any point, it's good. But we have to be careful not to push that it's the secondary that makes it work. You know? Does that make sense? Because anytime we talk about these things, is where is it? Where is us all this wonderful, great, and, you know, the last time I saw a circle dancing and, you know, like that, and skipping and fields and daffodils and, how you say, frolicking, you know, dogs and butterflies and all that was, you know, it was quite a few years ago. No, we don't.
Some people never saw it.
That's all. Well, the people that were there, is a good chance they didn't see. It was probably all in their head. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is we have these ideas, but where is it? Where are these wonderful relationships, wonderful communities, wonderful all this that we're talking about, that without this you can't be Krishna conscious? Well, where are they? So the point is, but being Krishna conscious and all that you can do. Then you add these things, then it's, like we said, it's an ornament. But in other words, the body is there, you're like that, then you can add ornaments to the body. But if there's no body, then what do you do with ornaments? Does that make sense? You know, shoes are a good thing to have if you have feet. If you don't have feet, what's the point of shoes? That's what we're meaning by shravan. It's a waste of time. Something sense. So the body is devotional service, and if that's there, then these other qualities, they're an ornament. But saying that, oh no, if we have all this, you know, it's going to be perfect, you know, like this. So we have this, we have that, we have all these things like that, you know. But there's none of those things. You know, you just have all those whatever it is, you know, Brahmins and their little what do you call it? Aquariums kind of things, you know, that all they are is a brain, you know, and dune or something, you know, so. You know what we're talking about here, no?
Dune.
Huh?
Dune.
Dune. No. You know, so it's like, you know, what would be the benefit? So that's the whole point, is because you have bhakti, it's there, because it's personal. The other thing is, no, it's knowledge, it's skills, it's not personal. It's a generic thing.
Yes, yes.
An MBA is a generic thing. Yes. Right? Then you use it, now if you use it for Krishna, then it becomes useful. You don't, it's just another mundane thing. Is that...
Yeah.
So in other words, you're splitting between what is the actual point of devotional service and then what are the other aspects. So we have to be able to tell that difference, because otherwise that is one kind of aspect of conditioning. Is that faith in God, right? Religious person, faith in God, but it's still God is subservient to the moral principles. And if things aren't morally the way that you want them, then you can't have faith, you can't have this and that.
Mark?
Yes.
What about we continue with the same sock?
With the same sock?
No, with the same mantra. For example, people, because they know that devotional service means rasa. So it means that the only rasa that we know is material. Kind of. So to churn that, we try to churn material rasa. I'm not talking about gross things. You know, classics, you know, nice music, nice atmosphere.
But it just depends upon who you are, whether it's gross or not.
Whatever. We're talking about that specific.
So you're talking about like listening to like Nikhil Banerjee, you know, playing, you know, Bhairav Rag or something like that, 1 hour alap and all that kind of stuff.
No, I don't know today.
So you're talking about something more gross. I'm just joking. Just to harass.
It's normal. So these things, you know, you read classics because there's a lot of churning of emotions, and I'm not talking about Peter Pan, and you know, a little bit more.
You have something against Peter Pan?
No.
Like that. You don't like kids.
More people.
But he flies, come on.
Big fly. Anyway.
Never looked at it like that.
How helpful is that?
Not really helpful. It keeps you busy like that, but it's not. It doesn't help devotional service. You know, it's just like Krishna says, you balance your work and recreation. So if this is your recreation, then that being done, then you're able to perform your work nicely. But you just have to see that it's balanced, because if you put too much of this, then you stop doing the other things.
But if you do not too much.
Yes, but it's not that it helps. It just balances us and our conditioning that we're willing to focus. But it doesn't do anything direct for devotional service. So it's only when you focus that it's there. And so we can say, see, no, it's helping. It's that it may seem like that at this point, because it's able to, we relax where we're willing to focus. But the point is it's due to impurities that we're unable to focus. Like that. As we perform devotional service, then we find we can more and more be absorbed in direct activities of Krishna consciousness without any support of these, you know, mundane indirect aspects. It's just what you do. It works. It's how you're able to be balanced and stay inclined in devotional service. So it's like we're saying, is at that point, that's how it's being engaged. But as we advance it, we don't need it then to maintain the attachment for it. Now, that'll be a problem. In other words, we may be listening to this classical music, but we have to be willing that when the taste comes for the holy name, that we're willing to give up that. You know, in other words, if it's an identity, it will be a problem for us. Right, you know, I'm the Chopin wallow, or I'm the Vivaldi wallow, or, you know, does that make sense, kind of stuff? So then it will be a problem. So we're engaging as much as we can of these things, and you try to do nice things, and, you know, you, okay, the aspect for refinement, let's say, in music. So then when you're going to do kirtan, you see that, you know, everything's set up nicely. You know, the kartals are ones that actually make sound and not just two lumps of metal that kind of go clink and that's it. You know, but you try to get, you know, good quality stuff so that it makes the kirtan more nice. You understand? But it's that trying to make it nice for Krishna, that's actually the point. Now, you may be inspired to engage your conditioning in that area, or someone else that just doesn't care. As long as they can bang on it. And like that, I can remember, I think saw it twice, where the brahmacharis are playing the mridanga so hard, and they're going for it. They don't like, you know, it's not like where you have the, it's nothing to do with the wrist, it's to do with the shoulder, you know, and that they would play so hard they'd actually punch a hole through the head of the mridanga. And the other brahmacharis are like, wow, yeah, you know, this is a serious kirtan and stuff like that, yeah. You know, so they were fully engaged. Yeah, you know, so they engaged their nature, you know, but, you know, saying, so you're engaging, so you're enthusiastic, so that's fine. You engage whatever it is. You like doing things, making it aesthetic. You make it look nice. You know, you like nice things to eat. You make nice stuff. But it's not because I'm a good cook, that's why I'm a better devotee. That's Kapila Muni mentions that's devotional service in the mode of ignorance. Because we're identifying with it, we think that's the cause of the devotional service. When devotional service, well, it's ignorance because it's not what it is. Right? It means it's improper in our vision. Passion means we're trying to get something from it. And goodness we're doing because it's the duties, it's what should be done. Does that make sense? So, we have these things, we do, but it's not that's cultivating devotional service. It may indirectly support. Does that make sense? So it'll be engaged, but it won't be that we can't claim that it's causing is a cause of devotional service. Otherwise, Rupa Goswami would have mentioned it already in the 64 items of devotional service, right? You know, like that, and the acharyas would have commented on, you know, which aspects to listen to and all that. You know, how you say, those on karma yoga would, listen more to the chorale or things like this and that, or the lute suites and those kind of things. And those who are more into the gyan, you know, so becoming detached, then they'll listen to Verdi's Requiem and, you know, stuff like that. So you're not doing that. Right, so we don't see that there's any comments in this regard. Right? So, it just means that whatever your position, because the variety is unlimited. You know, because like, when you say classical, what does that mean? Yes. You know? So, you know, are you, like, for some people that means listening to Gregorian chants. Pretty classic. Like that. You have another opinion of what's classical, like that, or
that there was just, I just remember one thing in London, in Russian Yatra, there was one lady.
London in Russian Yatra?
Russian society, like that. There was one lady, she was like coming for 1.5 years, she was chanting all that stuff, and then in the end she was start telling she missing like a classic music, like a poets, all that stuff. She basically left, and she,
in a, she left for
showing up at all.
What is it? For
anymore.
Tchaikovsky.
Yeah, Pushkin, Tchaikovsky.
That's,
and she told like
that's a, wild stuff.
There is also a lot of knowledge inside them.
Inside what?
In those scriptures. No, poems. Sorry, no scriptures.
Lack of poems.
Yeah, yeah.
She needs to learn Bengali. Then we got, you know, so much poetry. Sanskrit's also poetry. Point is, look at those things on the side. You don't have to leave Krishna consciousness. So in other words, if you'll keep chanting because you're reading Pushkin, then read Pushkin. But this might take you a few lifetimes, but... You know what I'm saying? Because the point is it's not a standard. It's that that's what you do. But don't make it a philosophy. Don't preach. Don't like that. Otherwise, then there will be problems. Does that make sense? Oh, a Russian society in London.
Like
here in Mayapur. Like here in Mayapur. Like that? Yeah, I knew it was here.
Community.
Huh? Community, okay, yes, community. Okay, you have a Russian community in Hungary?
No, they all left.
Came
here from.
They say, too many chilies, right? Yeah, it's just a matter of you do. Tchaikovsky. Okay.
It's funny, I have friends from Hungary on the Facebook, and Mataji says no, but actually there's one group, it's called Russian Budapest. I'm part of that group.
Russian Budapest. See, you don't even
know.
Yeah. So Russians are everywhere.
Yeah. That's far out.
Indian ISKCON devotees, many times.
Indian ISKCON devotees. So the Indian community. Not Russian, the Indian community in Bombay. You want to know, they want to listen to, you know, how you say the classics, like Kol Ho Na Ho or something.
Many times, devotees, what they do is that.
the previous discussion, she's just gone, what are they talking about? And asked the other way. What? Kol Ho Na, what?
So, devotees, they invite Vrajapasis.
They invite Vrajapasis.
Vrajapasis,
just here, one thing is there. Mm. Now, we talk about, you know, proper association, this and that and all those. We've discussed that, right? Yes. Okay. So now, in this question you're going to ask, according to what we've discussed before, how would you apply it to this situation? I'm not worried about that. What we're saying is, how would you apply it to the situation you're bringing up? Would you recommend it or not?
Yeah.
Would you recommend it or not?
Yes,
you would recommend it.
My point, I'm recommending.
Your point, you're recommending. What's your point?
Inviting the Vrajavasis for the program.
You're inviting them for the program. Means they're giving the program, or they're just sitting there along with everybody else?
No, they're giving the programs.
But why would you invite Vrajavasis when you have the devotees to do the programs?
Because devotees require a change, and they want a change from...
A change. So why not bring in some Sri Vaishnavas or some Nimbarkas or Vallabhas? Why Vrajavasis?
That's their taste, whatever, you cannot say.
Taste. Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami that you should not associate very closely with the Vrajavasis. They're in their own categories, so it's nothing to do with us.
Peut-être to bring Russian devotees?
Yes. You want a taste? Bring in the Russians. So you'll get to them. They'll make you some borscht like that, you know, some pierogies. You know,
they'll have a change.
Yeah, that's a change. They want to change, you know, cook Bengali or, you know, bring in some Biharis or something. You know. Get a dolak, you know.
The Vrajabhajans are very famous. That's why.
Yeah, so is Michael Jackson. But he's dead.
No.
Oh, I see. So is Elvis, you know, like this. Why does famous make it okay?
Because that gives them rasa, experience rasa.
But it's material rasa. You can't tell the difference between material and spiritual.
Yes, of course.
Then they want to do that on their own as their own things. That's fine. But to claim that this is now a Krishna conscious program, then why would you do that? They go home, they want to watch a Bollywood movie. Do that. That's their recreation. But don't call it, it's a spiritual program. That's a disease.
Yes.
You don't see it as so often, but you do see it where I've seen where individuals, it's a prestigious thing to be Krishna conscious. And so when they do things that are mundane, they'll try to make it look like they're spiritual. Because they can't do anything that's not spiritual. It's bad for their prestige. So it's just that you like that? Go home. Drink your coffee. Watch your movie. You know, go out to Domino's. Get yourself a pizza. You know, you're in Bombay. You know, how you say they have Jane option, right? Over here we don't. No onions and garlic. You know, it's because there's so many there, because that's their place, that side. So basically most of these places you can go and order the Jane stuff and it's all okay. So as far as, at least in Bombay, as far as restaurants go, you have more options than you do probably any other place in the world. Right? So do that. That's their recreation. They want to go out in their Lamborghini and go on the Pune, you know, Bombay highway at, you know, 250 kilometers an hour. Go for it. And then stop at that chaat place and sit there at 2 in the morning and eat their chaat. Go for it. But don't try to say it's a Krishna conscious program. You know, it's devotees. They're getting together. They're doing whatever they do. You know, they get together on New Year's or somebody's birthday or whatever it is that they do. Do that. But don't try to say that it's Krishna conscious, and oh yes, in this way we're cultivating. Don't do that. You know? They like listening to Vrajabhasi, it's great. Like that. But, you know, but at the same time, don't expect people to think because it's Vrajabhasi and they're famous, so what? You know, so is Rajinikanth, he's famous. No? But in Rajinikanth's house, at least when I visited there, he has the deity of Prabhupada, and he sits down and chants 16 rounds. That's the slight difference. Rajinikanth, the last I saw him was on a poster that was about 50 feet high in Madras. In his day, he was like the Shah Rukh Khan of South India. Like that.
With garlands also.
Yeah, garlands. Yeah, the whole thing.
50 feet garland.
Yeah, 50 foot garland. It's just the whole thing. Not Wadas, right? Not Wadas. No, that's Hanuman, right? He's got the 50 foot garland of Wadas. So the point is make a distinction between, says work and recreation, but don't try to take it that your recreation is. You're doing mundane things and then try to claim that it's spiritual. No, we're conditioned, and this is what we do, so do it. Fine. Who cares?
Okay, that's the reason why then such programs are kept very secret.
It's like this. That yes. Because what's the point? And then if they get distracted, then, you know, it's all lost. All their advancement, all their professionalism, all that, then is like Prahlad Maharaj said, it's a waste of time. Because they can't discriminate. You know? Otherwise, there's so many nice orators. I mean, Dayananda, fabulous speaker, all these different guys. I can't even remember their names anymore. They're amazing speakers. This Ravi Shankar guy, amazing speaker. Why don't they invite him over? You know, like that. Sit down, watch some TED Talks or something. You know what I'm saying? So whatever they were doing as karmis before they came in contact with Krishna consciousness, if that's what they want to do as their recreation, do it.
But they say that it enhances their Krishna consciousness.
But that's totally bogus. They're just trying to do that because they, one, don't want to be told it's wrong, they don't want to be told they can't do it, and they don't want to lose their prestige because they have attachments. So it's a totally bogus thing. Yes, they may feel more relaxed after and all this and that, but that doesn't mean that it's enhancing their Krishna consciousness, because what they don't understand is that they're getting contaminated by it also. And at some point, they're going to have to remove that contamination. Does that make sense? You know, otherwise, in the 60s, they were saying taking LSD enhances their spiritual experience also.
Yes.
I'm sure they got a lot more experience than these Brajbasis are offering. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is you can say whatever you like, and then there's reality. That's the point, is that you have your life, you live your life, and you choose how much is there. But then the whole point is, can you do that all day? It's just like this. If you sat down and chanted japa 24/7, would there actually be a problem? No. But if any of these things we're saying that we're doing as enhancement to Krishna consciousness, we did them for, you know, 10, 12 hours. That, you understand? So they're in a different category. It's just that because we're mundane, if we eat this or do that, we feel relaxed, right? We feel bad, this and that. We have our comfort foods. We eat them. We feel better. But it's not that they're enhancing devotional service. Why use that bogus approach? Just say, it makes me feel better, and so then I can focus more. But it's because of my attachments, my conditioning, that it works. But otherwise, to say that that's spiritual, then that's what the sahaja, that's what all these guys say. I mean, there's the guys that say this in India are literally a dime a dozen. You know? They're just coming out your ears. One big guy in South India, he does katas and things like that, and also sings, you know, does a little bit like the North Indian. I don't remember his name. That he was into you know, the Lord Chaitanya and Radha and Krishna and all that. So he says, you know, you have the coffee, you know, it's black. You know, like that, like Krishna. And then you have the cream, you know, golden like Radharani. Then when you put the cream into the black coffee, then it turns golden like Lord Chaitanya. And then when you add the sugar, then you get the sweetness of the rasa of that combined Radha and Krishna's pastimes. And this is philosophy. He says this from his seat. So you want bogus stuff? Bogus has been going on in India way before any of these devotees were born. Like that. And I guarantee that they say these guys are great. They're nothing compared to the guys that were around before. Guaranteed. But for the present day, they're good enough. So this whole idea is that we have to justify our mundane position and try to make it look spiritual because of our attachments and our prestige and all that. Why can't they just... You're attached. This is what you do. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, they want to fly off to Dubai for a weekend or something like that. You know, do it. But don't say it's enhancing my bhakti and all that. I walked around Dubai Mall. I felt so spiritual. You know? Is that what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just do it. Who cares? But the point is don't make it a philosophy. Because why does Bhaktivinoda Thakur talk about all these things? Because bogus gurus, it's like India has the franchise on that. They've been having bogus gurus since time immemorial. You know, Charvak's not a new guy. Huh? Yeah, Indra, you know, like this. It's been going on since time immemorial. And then to say it will be, you know, because they're Brajbasis and all that. So many things are Brajbasis. You know?
Sweet.
Like that. You know, Prabhupada was not, you know, made comments that didn't endear him to the Goswamis, that he said all the turtles and Radhakund and all these, those are all the Goswamis in their next life. They didn't appreciate it. You know, so the whole thing is we have to be very careful. We're attached, okay. we're conditioned. But as you go and progress in devotional service, you'll find that you become less attached. These things are less important. And it may take 10, 20 years. But yes, it will work. But if we claim that it's helping my devotional service, you'll never give them up. And then you take birth again. And again, and again, and again, and again. You know, then, what do you call it? Then the screen goes black, and we come back, you know, it's 3 hours later. And again, and again, and again, and again. Blacks out, comes back, 1 week later. And again, like this. Does that work? Yes? Yeah, so it's bogus. That's all. They want to do it on their own? That's great. But to call it that it's enhancing their spiritual life, that's bogus. It may make them relax, make this and that. That's the way it works.
Can you say about the qualities like which devotees are trying to cultivate by practicing devotional service? Like humility, tolerance, so on and so forth.
Right.
Now, it so happens that we find so many non-devotees also having at least one of the qualities. And
wait a minute. Haven't we already discussed all this?
No, Maharaj. This is regarding that if they don't practice bhakti, then what is the cause for having that particular quality? Because, or is it that they have bhakti in their previous life?
It's karma. That's all. It means you perform the activity that qualifies you to get these things. Then you have them. But the same time is, then they lose them. They only have them as long as they have that. The point is, they're cultivating them on their own. That's why they lose it. We perform devotional service. Within that, when the opportunity comes up, we need to be tolerant, then we are. We don't separately try to cultivate tolerance. So the point is that if we spend the time absorbed in the direct devotional activities, it works very nicely. If we speculate on all these things, then we come up with all kinds of strange and wonderful things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, going back to Godhead's another thing. Mm-hmm. Like that. So we have to be very careful. Because we have to take very seriously Kapila Muni's description of the devotees and, you know, performing devotional service in ignorance, passion, and goodness. So he says ignorance means that we think that we are, by our material qualification, we're an advanced devotee. So I was a professional before joining, or still am a professional. That makes me more advanced than just those other devotees who joined, and they, you know, they just do service, or, you know, render, you know, they service, meaning the Indian concept means that you work for somebody, you know, or he runs that little light bulb shop down on the corner and stuff like that. And but I'm more advanced because I'm a professional, I'm big, I do all these different things, so I'm more advanced, or because of the activities that we do in our circle of culture, then it's more refined or considered more socially higher. Therefore, I'm more advanced, or it's devotional service. That's all parts of the mode of ignorance. Passion is then you want benefit from that. Because I'm in this position, therefore I should get the authority, I should get the facility, that's the mode of passion. Goodness is you're doing things because you should do them. This is the recommendation, you do it. You do the best you can. And when you can't, then you watch your Bollywood movie. But, you know, does that make sense? So, you know, otherwise, it's like, can you function without sleep? So that means then your sleeping is enhancing your devotional service. So therefore, more sleep, better service. So in this way, then the koala bear is the most advanced because he sleeps 22 hours a day. You understand? So you have to be very, very careful. Following the footsteps means where their foot went, that's where you put yours. You don't make up your own path, otherwise you don't know where you'll end up. Right? Does that make sense? We have to be very careful about these things. Okay. Anything else? Are you good? Okay?
Thank you.
Okay.
Now, many times in this age, everyone wants to make shortcuts.
Yes. But generally what happens when you do the shortcut? Just like, let's say we're here. We're having a race, and the road goes, you know, from this high level here all the way around the valley to the other side. So you really have to go out of the way.
Yes.
So then you're here, and you can see the place when it gets exactly opposite the valley.
Yes.
So the quickest way would just to go down and go through the, you know, the forest there. How does that work out most of the time? You understand? So that's the difficulty with shortcuts, is that they end up short.
Dead.
Hmm? Yeah, that is something. Falling off a cliff. There's a reason the road went around. So what we have to understand is the process given by Lord Chaitanya and the Acharyas already is the shortcut. It already is the best in the simplest way. And if we have that faith, then we'll move forward in there. But if we think, no, there's something more. That's the difficulty. What are these Brajavasis going to talk about? They're going to talk about something that we're not talking about. So one of the things is it's quiet because of this. The other thing is quiet because they'll think that they're getting something special that ISKCON can't offer.
Yes.
And so therefore, as Prabhupada would say, we kick on their face. We couldn't care less for these kind of people. At all. Brajavasis, we offer our respects. But those that think that they have something to offer that ISKCON doesn't, you know, the Prabhupada, the Acharyas, we have to remember, Rupa Goswami, is he not a Brajavasi?
Yes.
Right? You know, so therefore, we are following the Brajavasis. But we have our Brajavasis to follow. You follow others, God only knows where you'll end up. Because there's a lot of people in Braj. Right?
Yes.
When it says that there's 16,108 gopis that are prominent, it's not talking about Rupa, Rati, and those guys. It's talking about those who are competitors to Radharani. So that means Radharani, Chandravali, like Lalita Vishaka, you know, which is on our side, but then Shaiva, Bhadra, Tara, like this and down the line. And they're all competitors.
Mm-hmm.
So you can bring all the people you want. But where are you going to end up? Bhaktivinoda very clearly in one of his books points out, says that we offer our respects to all of them because they're all serving Krishna. But we don't associate with them. Why would you associate with them? Right? If they're coming in and hanging out with us and going, you know, sitting at our program and taking bishad and taking part in the kirtan and all that, then we're cool. But we're bringing them as authorities on devotional service. I can guarantee you 100%. Prabhupada would not appreciate it. He would not approve. Never. He didn't like it that they came by and stopped in one of the Gaudiya Mutts and hung out a bit. Because they give a different opinion. They always do. Rare that you find they don't. Individuals. So you have to notice that. Why would you do that? You know what I'm saying? You would do better to have a program, invite Shah Rukh over, or Uttam Kumar, or somebody like that. And problem is, it'll probably cost you a bit more.
But I like Radhanaswami, go to their program.
Hmm?
But I like Radhanaswami. they invite him for their
program. Yeah, that's the whole point. You know what I'm saying? We have to be very, very careful. Because otherwise, we're not impressed.
Even some of Marwadis attend our classes, so their family people, they organize some Bhagavad Sattva something. They are not devotees. So sometimes they go for one day. They say it is waste of time. Really, they get sick of attending those programs. It is only karma kanda.
But the others, they'll use words that will sound good to us. And talk stuff that appears to be more advanced. Because that's the whole thing. You just talk stuff that no one knows what you're talking about. And it's, like I mentioned, that one Indian gentleman, you know, listening to that big yogi like that, and he says he couldn't understand a word he's saying, so it must be really good. You know, and I know a few words, you know, Astakali Yalila, Astaprahar, and then, you know, then it's like, okay, jai. But they're words. You know, unless Krishna reveals, it doesn't have any, it doesn't, you don't, you won't get the taste. You may, you feel, it's exciting, you add something new, but the Goswamis could talk the same thing day in, day out. This is like, I can't remember who it was. You know that story where one of the Acharyas wrote a book, one of the six Goswamis, and one of the other ones, he asked him to read it, and then he just kept the book, he wouldn't give it back. And he was like, it put him in such a mood of separation and all that. It was just, it was like he was really, really. I think he wrote that afterwards, no? Then he wrote that so that he would change his mood.
The second one he wrote, because one was about the separation.
Okay, so and he wrote the second one so that then he would lift his mood.
Who wrote this? Rupa Goswami.
Yeah,
this
Rupa
was
Goswami. Right? So that means then they can take the same thing over and over and over and over again. But we're doing because it was new, it's different, it's fresh. It's this, you know, that's what's fresh to us. I hadn't heard it before. You know? And you have to be very, very careful. Okay? Very careful. Like that. But in dealing with them, we're always going to be very nice, we're going to be very polite, because the point is if they're born in Braj, then they're different. Mm-hmm. Like that. So they're respectable, they're devotees and all that. But at the same time, is they're not our line. You know? They have their, what they do with Krishna, their relationship, that's their business. But it's not ours. We're sadhakas. And why I say is because Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami specifically, don't mix intimately with the Brajavasins. They have their own, they don't follow the sadhana, they have their own scene. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So we have to be very careful. Okay, so then it says here, face the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your original position. And thus, by self-realization, you'll find this material differentiation to be merely flickering. Right? So if you call it a substance, then we're not realized enough. But if we continue at it, it will come up. Brihadaranyaka Sukadeva Goswami. In this way, all the cowherd boys used to play with Krishna, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence for jnanis, desiring to merge into that effulgence. Who's the Supreme Personality of Godhead for devotees who have accepted eternal servitorship and who for ordinary persons is but another ordinary child. The cowherd boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities for many lives, were able to associate in this way with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can one explain their great fortune? Right? So this is, yeah. Brahma to Sri Krishna. How greatly fortunate are Nanda Maharaj, the cowherd men, and all other inhabitants of Brajabhumi. There is no limit to their good fortune. Because the absolute truth, the source of transcendental bliss, the eternal supreme Brahman, has become their friend. Right? So this is the third. So you see is that the Brahman, the source of everything, who's controlling everything, he's become their friend. Right?
Yes,
that's this point of rasa.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's the third aspect.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So he has all these good qualities that they're all there, you know, it's all pervading. That's just, you know, inherently who he is, just his nature.
Yes, yes.
That he controls all his energies and is on top of all that and all these qualities. And that's also. But we see is that the real point is that his friendship and interaction with the devotees.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So,
yes, yes.
Sense. Yes.
The order is different, Maharaj.
Sorry?
The order is different.
Yes.
The first
yes.
is a relationship.
Yes, yes. Mm. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Prickett. Defeated, the Supreme Lord Krishna carried Sridhama, Bhadrasena carried Rishabha, and Pralamba carried Balaram, the son of Rohini. Right? So that's what's being offered.
Yes.
Not Tchaikovsky. My greatest possible good fortune would be to take my birth, whatever, any birth, whatever, in this forest of Gokula, and have my head bathed by the dust falling from the lotus feet of any of its residents. Their entire life and soul is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, the dust of whose lotus feet is still being searched for in the Vedic mantras. Right, yeah, so he'd like to be there, is that the residents of Vrindavan are there, but the Vedic mantras, they're still looking for that dust. Yeah, so it just puts it in proportion.
Yes.
So in other words, something so wonderful is being offered that we have to be careful, don't ruin it by our speculations and all that, you know, getting distracted. Because otherwise then you miss out on this niceness. My greatest good possible fortune would be to take any... Oh, we just did that one. My mind becomes bewildered just trying to think of what reward other than you could be found anywhere. You are the embodiment of all benedictions, which you bestow upon these residents of the cowherd community of Vrindavan. You have already arranged to give yourself to Putana and her family members in exchange for her disguising herself as a devotee. So what is left for you to give these devotees of Vrindavan, whose homes, wealth, friends, dear relations, bodies, children, and very lives and hearts are all dedicated to you? So she just came into disguise, you know, and appeared that she was going to render service, though it wasn't. And he's so kindly given himself. So let alone, what has he given to the Brajavasis? Right? That's the point. Like Narad Muni says before, is that, you know, like Kamsa, he's so envious. But from that, he attains the spiritual world.
Yes.
So, and he's talking about the glories of just remembering Krishna all the time. That's what you want to do. You know, from any angle. But we see is that they're getting, you know, liberated. They're going to Vaikuntha and all that. So, let alone what happens to those who meditate on Krishna, always absorbed in Krishna with loving affection.
Yes.
But they'll get.
Yes. Yes. Hmm? Huh? For Putana or Kamsa, their primary thing was about Krishna. For Putana or Kamsa.
Yeah, just I got distracted because I said, those are Brajavasis. They're born here. They're not Nivasis. They're born here. And who's born in the Dham? Devotees. So what were you doing in devotional service that's your mantras? So we don't accept the authority, our own line, this and that. This is what happens. The animals here, they're all devotees. The trees, they're all devotees. So you have to understand, it's much broader than what we're thinking. Means everything here. There's no mundane living entities here. They're all here because of something to do with devotional service. But there may be a weakness. Otherwise, why be born in these other forms? So that's the whole thing. We have to understand. It's real. You want Krishna, then you have to stick to the line. Razor's edge. You want so many other things, it's all available. It's all available. So we have to appreciate that. So we have our process, and they have theirs. Like the four sampradayas, they're all bona fide, but we follow our process. So for variety, we bring in the other sampradayas and all that. It's nice. We don't do that. Dhruva Maharaj to Prishnagarbha. My Lord, O Supreme Lord, you are the supreme personified form of all benediction. Therefore, for one who abides in your devotional service with no other desire, worshipping your lotus feet is better than becoming king and lording it over a kingdom. Right? And that's pretty good, right? by today's standards, right? So it's better than that. That is the benediction of worshipping your lotus feet. To ignorant devotees like me, you are the causelessly merciful maintainer, just like a cow who takes care of the newly born calf by supplying milk and giving it protection from attack. Right? So Krishna is offering himself if we'll take. Right? Yeah. So we should be careful not to take up something else. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema.